Hi, I'm Chase Bunker, but you're not here for me. You're here for my guest. He is a popular stand-up comedian and actor. You've seen him in Think Like a Man 1 and 2, Get Hard, and Undercover Brother. His latest special, No S, is available right now on YouTube, and you can see him at the Florida Theater on December 27th. Tickets on sale now. He is Gary Owen. Gary, how are you?
Hey, I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks a lot for coming on. One thing I didn't realize is that prior to being a comedian, you were in the Navy. First off, thank you for your service. Also, I imagine that the military just tried to beat the humor out of you.
You know what's amazing is there's been quite a few comedians that came out of the military. Sinbad, Earthquake.
Really?
It's kind of shocking. I think you can go two ways. You can go real hard with it or just like, you know what? I'm just going to have some fun with this and just get through it.
Did the military almost like kind of step in your way in your career as a stand-up, or how did that go?
It's crazy. I always wanted to be a stand-up. I just didn't know how do you do it. So I just remember the Navy recruiter came to my my trailer. I grew up in a trailer park, and I was like, wait a minute, this could be a way out. They're going to fly me out, and then eventually I figured I could get to California. And at that age, 17, I thought the whole state of California was Los Angeles. I didn't know there was other cities. So the whole thing was, if I can get to LA, I can start doing stand-up. So the Navy was basically my way to get to California. And that's what ended up happening. I got stationed in San Diego, and that's where I started doing stand-up.
Do you remember what your first set was like?
Oh yeah, it wasn't good at all. Because here's the thing, you get that phone call, you get your put mic in, and you think you're going to get discovered that night. I remember I got dressed, I was in the mirror, and I was thinking, I've been working on these jokes my whole life, this 5 minutes. And then I get there, and you're going up at 1 a.m, and there's like 10 people in the audience, but there's 20 comics in the back. And then there's no right or left turn. You only got the 5 minutes to go straight. So if one joke don't hit, you don't know how to like segue into something else. And I don't think any comic just destroys their first time.
No, I remember when the first time I tried it, and it was fun, but like it was one of those, like, again, like I practiced in front of a mirror the entire time. And then like, as soon as you step on the stage, like it's just a completely different feeling. It's like all that preparation, it just kind of goes away. Cause you're just like, oh, that's right. There's a lot of people staring at me right now.
Strangers too. It's a lot different than your friends.
Mm-hmm.
That's
exactly.
The big thing. You know, people don't realize like stand-up is like, as far as an art form, it's kind of mind-boggling to think you can get all these people from all these different nationalities and tax brackets and different points in their life. You got people that are happily married, people divorced, people dating, people single, and they find a common ground that they can all be like, okay, I relate to that. I get that. That's funny. You know, it's kind of mind-boggling to think comedians, we can do that. Because I think when you think of music, you know, you're either a country music fan or you're a rap fan, or you're a pop fan, and that's who you go see. With comedians, you know, a lot of times people are just, especially when you're talking about comedy clubs, in the beginning, they're just showing up.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to find a common ground to bring everybody together.
Especially, like, when you're first starting out, like, you just go to a lot of these, like, weird, obscure clubs as well, like, a bunch of, like, redneck clubs. You go to, like, a lot of these dive bars as well. Like, you don't immediately just, like, start off and you're just playing MSG. Like, you have to go to, like, these smaller, like, dingier places as well.
Yeah, you know, when I first started, I was in San Diego. There was, I was just looking for a microphone and stage. So I would do, there was Wednesday nights at this Mexican restaurant. They had karaoke. So I would go on Wednesdays, and instead of singing, I would tell jokes. And it got to the point where people got quiet because they were like, oh, that's the funny dude. He's going to tell some jokes tonight. And I would only do 5 minutes, but it was a way for me to just get comfortable on stage amongst people that weren't there to see stand-up. But it was actually a cool thing to happen because the first time people were kind of looking at me like, is he really telling jokes? When's the song going to start? And the next week I came back, and the next week I came back. And pretty soon after about a couple months, even the guy running the karaoke was calling me like, you coming through tonight? You doing five? And it just got a point where when I walked on stage, people knew, oh, let's be quiet for 5 minutes. This guy's going to tell jokes.
That's crazy because I would imagine like there's some people going, hey, I wanted to hear him sing Copacabana, and he's just riffing and doing material right now.
I know, right? Well, the Copacabana probably would have got me booed because I can't sing at all.
Is that the weirdest place you've ever done stand-up?
You know, in the beginning, man, you're just, like you said, you could be in a biker bar.
Mm-hmm.
you know, you just never know. I mean, I started in San Diego, so I remember going on the Pacific Beach. We'd be at these beach bars, and I'm not exaggerating. There'd be four people on them bar stools, and you're performing to four people in the back of a bar.
Wow. That's what's worse is, like, you probably, if a joke fails, you literally hear crickets.
Well, with four people, even if the joke hits. you're not getting much.
That is very true. But let's focus on your career now. You've put out a bunch of specials. Your latest one, No S, on YouTube right now. I've noticed more and more comedians are just, they're not waiting for, like, the Netflix or Prime special anymore, and they're just posting all of their stuff on YouTube.
But we're in a great age to be a stand-up, because when I first started, you had to get the approval of a producer or a network to almost, like, anoint you. Like, we're going to put you on our network, and we're going to let the masses see you. Where now, with all the social media websites, you can put everything out yourself, and there's so many comedians that are building, like, really big careers off their own material and their own camera guy and just posting their own clips. Yeah, you don't have to rely on Netflix. Obviously, that'd be great, but you're not, like, waiting for them anymore.
Yeah, I feel like with the popularity of shorts, that a lot of people can start putting out their own material, and I feel like a lot of crowd work stuff has just been hitting more recently.
Yeah, I think comics have been doing crowd work for years. But now I think people are like, oh, I should be filming this. And crowd work is great because you're not burning your material. And every now and then you'll get those, like, I don't know, the stars align moment where it's just perfect. Like, whoever you're talking to in the audience is giving you the right responses and you're having fun with them, and people can feel that energy. Even on social media, they can feel it. Mm-hmm. So the crowd work's great. And then what's even better is, like, people might come because they saw, like, a crowd work clip, and then when they see you live, they're like, oh, he's got real material. This guy's funny for real. So it's kind of a good balance.
It's funny you say that because, like, a friend of mine, he didn't know that we were talking today. He sent me a clip of yours, and it was the paper straw guy. And, like, just that, some of that crowd work with, like, the guy with, like, the sparkly hat and all that, like, just flagging down the waiter. And so just, like, the fact that you have, like, those type of moments, it just, like, you can help spread those. And, yeah, you definitely feel that energy.
Yeah, that was a wild one, paper straws. I think that hit like 70 million if you combine, you know, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube.
Wow.
And it's one of those clips that hit everywhere. And what's wild about it was I filmed it in February, and just my web guys, they didn't really post it until July.
Mm-hmm.
I had forgotten all about that night. And then I remember he called me. He goes, hey, man, we might have something here. And then we posted it, and it just went nuts immediately.
Mm-hmm.
It was just one of those moments, man.
Yeah. You've done crowd work, and you've done joke writing. Which one do you like even more?
I think one feeds the other. I think when you do enough crowd work, people start to come for the crowd work, especially if they sit in the front.
Mm-hmm.
But, there's nothing like getting a new joke and it hits.
Yeah.
And it's almost like a newborn baby. You're like, oh, wow, I thought that'd be funny, and then it came across funny. So I would probably say the written joke, because that's something you crafted in your brain.
Yeah,
and you just, I don't know, it's kind of rewarding.
Yeah, I wonder, like, how do you even, like, practice crowd work? Because, like, the thing is, like, with joke writing, you can always go to these open mics, you can gauge response, and you tweak here and there. It's hard to practice crowd work because you just need, like, the right person.
Yeah, you can't practice it. I mean, it's just got to be in you. And like I said, you got to have the right dance partner kind of thing. Like, when you talk about the paper straws clip, that wasn't really crowd work. Like, they were really in a heated, discussion about his drink order, because what that was about, he doesn't drink. And they were telling him you have to have a 2-drink minimum. He goes, well, I don't drink, though.
Oh,
so
really?
That was what it was about. So it wasn't really crowd work. It was, I was really asking, what's going on here? Because if you see that clip, I'm starting to do another joke.
Mm-hmm.
And then I stopped it. I go, what's going on? Because it was in the front. And I was like, it just came out perfect.
Yeah, definitely did. I want to go to your acting career real quick. You've been in multiple movies with Michael Jai White, who, for those who don't know, super jacked guy, knows like 9 different martial arts styles, holds 7 black belts. I imagine it must be terrifying to be near him because he can just kill you in multiple ways.
Well, here's the great thing about Michael Jai White. We've done 2 movies together. Mm-hmm. We did Undercover Brother 2, and then I only had one scene with him, but I remember I was making him laugh during the movie, And then he called me. No, he DM'd me on Instagram and said, give me your number. And he called me and said, I'm doing this movie in Canada. Will you come do it? So he got me the part in Welcome to Sudden Death 2.
Oh, wow.
And it's funny, like, it's funny how you're saying he's got to be intimidating, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we were shooting, we're doing a scene, and I was like the comic relief in this movie. And I gave him like a joke to say, I said, hey, man, why don't you say this? And he said that, he goes, and we did the scene and it went over well. And he goes, that's why I got you. He goes, man, I can't believe I got Gary Oldman writing jokes for me.
So, wow.
The same way I'm looking at him, like to see him do his martial arts up close and the way he choreographs it and everything. That was like kind of surreal. And then it's funny that for him to say, I gave him a joke was surreal to him. That's wild.
That's crazy. So as soon as like you made him laugh, you're like, all right, cool. I get to live to see tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, the good thing about the movie we did, we was on the same team.
Oh, okay.
So he wasn't fighting me. Yeah.
You can see him at the Florida Theater on December 27th. Tickets on sale now. Gary, before I let you go, I want to ask you the same question I ask all my guests here. They're inspired by the late, great James Lipton. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right, here we go. Most played song on your playlist?
Beautiful People by Chris Brown.
Guilty pleasure band?
I don't know if it's a band or a guy. Kenny Loggins.
Favorite song you like to belt it out to, no matter how good or how bad you sound?
Thunderstruck by AC/DC.
If you could eat one meal for a week, what is it?
Pizza.
Drink of choice?
Water.
Favorite superhero?
Superman.
Favorite internet video?
Favorite internet video? That's a good one. Favorite internet video? There's so many good ones. I'm going to say anything by me.
Okay, so is your favorite internet video then you choking on water after Andrew Schultz asked how long you've been faithful?
That's a good one. That makes me laugh. We'll say that one.
Should we do a redemption right now? We could do a redemption right now.
Okay, we can do a redemption.
All right, here we go. How long have you been with your wife?
2.5 years.
And how long have you been faithful?
2.5 years.
There you go. Redemption. Redemption. Thy name is Gary Owen. There you go. What are you streaming right now?
Mayor of Kingstown and Landman.
Nice. I need to watch season 2. And finally, Gary Owen, give me your spiciest hot take.
Diddy's guilty on all charges.
I know journalistically I'm supposed to say allegedly, but like, is that spicy?
I don't know. People say he didn't do everything. I said, I think he did it all.
You can see him at the Florida Theater on December 27th. Tickets on sale now. Gary Owen, thanks a lot for coming on.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you.